And we say hello now to ESPN's Greg Wyshynski, who joins us every Thursday at 9:30. And this is a measuring stick game, Greg. That is exactly how I view this, as the Predators look to make it 16 straight games by getting a point.
This is a great indication of how great things are going for you guys right now. It's 16 straight, potentially 16 straight games with a point, no regulation losses, and we're talking about measuring stick games. You guys are on the heater of heaters right now in the NHL. I mean, do you need to start testing yourselves? You're playing great.
I know, but like, and I'm wondering how you look at this too, as somebody that you were like one of the only, maybe the only national media member that picked the Predators to make the playoffs. Obviously, you're feeling very, very good about that prediction right now. But, you know, I still need to see them match up against a Stanley Cup contender, which I truly believe Florida can be. That's just me. Now, do I think they can hang? Like, could I see this being a one goal game either way? Absolutely. But I still want to see it.
For sure. I mean, listen, I get it. You do want to see how the team performs against some of the best teams in the league. You really want to know what you have in Nashville at this point. But for me, look, the focus is not on Florida at this point in the season, who, you know, frankly, is playing really good hockey, but right now is probably got designs on, you know, just winning a division versus anything else, and are probably just trying to stay healthy as they get towards the playoffs. My focus is on, what does a first round matchup look like for the Predators, and could they potentially be a spoiler in the West? And as you start to see the tops of these divisions play out, it's going to be a real race to figure out who wins, who has the best record in the West, and who ends up with that seed right behind them. And you know, to think right now that the Predators could match up with anybody of the Jets, Avalanche, Stars, or Canucks and the first round, and that's assuming that, you know, the Oilers don't close with a huge run. It's fascinating, and I've been trying to figure out exactly which team they could give the most trouble to, and I haven't quite figured that out yet. I think a lot of it has to do with who's not playing their best hockey towards the end of the season, to be honest with you.
Greg, for many years I worked in television. I was a sports anchor. I would do a story, they'd post it on the internet, and then a producer would write the headline. It would all be jumbled. ESPN on the NHL page has a big error on the Nashville Predators. It says, since one of their worst losses of the season in mid-February, the Panthers have recorded at least a point in 15 straight games. Who can we fire for this?
Not me.
Right?
Wasn't my story, wasn't my headline, wasn't my description.
Oh, so I know.
Everything is well above my pay grade. I actually have a piece on the Predators coming out today on The Point, our show, The Point, that's sort of like the pregame show to coverage tonight. It's a video essay on the whole U2 thing and how they turn things around. Ryan Clark wrote the story that's on the site today. So I don't know, man. You know, I'm the first one to mea culpa if it's my mistake, but
right.
I couldn't tell you who made this one. But thanks for noting it. I'll let someone know.
It would just drive me crazy, because at a point when I was on TV, I was like, you know what? Just let me write it, because I can take care of that. All right, Greg, let me ask you this. This hockey team, the Nashville Predators, are you seeing right now, when you look at it from 10,000 feet above, is this the kind of team that Barry Trotz wanted to build when he came here?
Yeah, no, I think it's still a work in progress. It's what makes the season so exciting, is the idea of, you know, Barry kind of coming in and putting his stamp on the team, already kind of understanding what it needed. I think the O'Reilly move, for example, was one of those things where he saw not only a hole in the lineup, but also the type of person that he needed in that locker room with such a young team. And so, you know, I think from a personnel standpoint, it's still probably a work in progress. But from a style of play standpoint, like we talked about when Andrew Brunette was hired, it's kind of fascinating to think about this franchise that had been so defined by defense and goaltending for so long, all of a sudden looking to become a track meet team. But it's Barry really reading the room. It's Barry really understanding the way the NHL is going and looking at a guy in Brunette who, in both Florida and in New Jersey, you know, was somebody who really kind of crafted the type of style and up-tempo play that I think defines the NHL today. And it was a really smart hire. And I mean, personally, I think the dude should be up for the Jack Adams. I don't know. It might be a crowded field this year, but I think that both he and Brunette really understood what this team needed to be. And it looks that way.
Greg Wyshynski is with us, presented by ESPN Bet, senior writer of the NHL for ESPN. And I asked Ryan McDonough yesterday when he was on our show if they use the, you know, not that they need motivation, you know, moving forward. They obviously know what they need to do. But do you get a little bit extra knowing that Florida decided that Andrew Brunette wasn't good enough and they didn't take the interim tag off? You know, Bruno's not that type. I don't think he's going to bring it up. But you got to figure that that's in his head going into this game tonight.
I'm sure it'll always be there. I'm sure, you know, the fact that the way things went there, you know, is always going to be part of the, of his mental makeup as a coach. But I'll say this, though. I mean, two things on that. First of all, I didn't agree with it when it happened, and I was really sort of not exactly bullish on Paul Maurice being their head coach. But you can't argue with the results.
Sure.
Like, Maurice was the perfect guy to get them to the Stanley Cup final last year. They've clearly built on that to become a team that's threatening to win the President's Trophy. And I think the other thing about Bruno too is that, you know, he was fired because or he wasn't renewed or whatever you want to call it, because he got out coached in the playoffs. I mean, it's a matter of fact, is he didn't do his best work at the most important time of the season. And I think that maybe, you know, people forget, for all the success that he's had, he was still a novice. I mean, he was an associate coach under Quenneville. He was a guy that when I talked to him, when he got, you know, promoted there, wasn't even sure if he wanted to be a coach in the long term. And since then, you know, got more experience working with Lindy Ruff in New Jersey, and I think has become a better head coach. These guys always need to, like, lose one job before they really figure out how to do the job. You know what I mean? And so I think it all kind of worked out for the best for both organizations and for Bruno. So there's probably some animosity, but I think it's one of those teachable moments, learning experiences that I think made everybody better.
With the teams at the top, Greg, you know, obviously Florida is one of them, the Rangers, but Boston, you know, now has the lead in the President's Trophy race right now with 97 points.
Yeah.
And then you look at the teams in the West as well. Do you feel like they're all kind of right there together, or does one team stand out to you more that you feel like it just has the pedigree to win the cup?
I really like the way that things are kind of coalescing for Colorado right now. And obviously it's pretty easy to say that when a team's won seven games in a row, but they look really good. I think their deadline acquisitions have been really good too. But the team that I saw the other night that has me just like, whoa, is the Carolina Hurricanes. You know, the Hurricanes have always been a team that has looked great, put things together, possesses the puck, you know, handles the tempo, does all these things. And then they were always the team that for whatever reason couldn't find that one goal at a critical time in the playoffs. You know, it'd be they lost, did every game go to overtime against the Panthers last year, or they were all one goal games? One of the two, but like, you know, it was one of those series where a certain goal at a certain time probably changes everything in the conference final, but instead they get eliminated. So the addition of Evgeny Kuznetsov and the addition of Jake Gensel at the deadline not only boosted their top two lines in a pretty significant way, but gave them two players that have an incredible playoff pedigree. Gensel's a point-per-game guy in the playoffs. I mean, it's astounding. So I watched them against the Islanders. They completely dismantled them, and that's a team, along with Colorado, that I think are maybe a cut above right now if they continue to play as well as they have.
Greg, if I had to ask you right now, in the Western Conference and the Central, I mean, you got these three teams at the top, Winnipeg, Colorado, and Dallas. If you were to ride one of these teams right now, which one would you ride on?
It'd be Colorado, but that Winnipeg team, man, is so fascinating because, you know, they've been the arguably the best defensive team in the league all year. And Connor Hellebuck, their goalie, gets a ton of credit for that, and he'll probably win the Vezina Trophy for that. But their analytics, if you look under the hood, the Winnipeg's always been really, really good defensively this year. Rick Bowness has gotten great buy-in from that group, and probably also helped that they jettisoned guys like Pierre-Luc Dubois, who didn't really want to play defense for him. That probably helped too. So that's a team that I'm really intrigued by, because if they can get the scoring, and adding a guy like Tyler Toffoli at the deadline certainly helps. Everything else is kind of pointed in the right direction of them being a really tough out. And, you know, if I'm Colorado and Dallas, I'm doing everything I can to not have to play them in the first round.
Good point on that. Greg, every week Barry Trotz joins Jared Stillman on our station here, and they're talking about Roman Josi, right? And Barry Trotz says he's the best defenseman on the planet, and because he's in Nashville, he might not get the publicity he gets in New York or Toronto. You cover the league. You know these guys. I mean, two-part, you think Roman's at that top echelon? And also, we're always going to battle the Nashville is not in the big market thing. So does that factor into all this when you're looking at awards and looking at things?
It can, but I'm not sure if it does in Roman's case. And let me caveat that for a second. It does seem like whenever he is on the cusp of contending for a Norris Trophy, there does seem to be extra legwork that's put in by the team, by his representatives, who I know, to try to get a little bit more focus on him. So from that aspect, I'd agree that playing in Nashville versus playing in a larger market does work against them, because it does seem like to be some acknowledgement that they have to work a little bit harder to get some attention for him. That being said, I mean, it's not as if he hasn't won a Norris. It's not as if he hasn't been an all-star. I mean, he's clearly gotten recognition from the larger hockey world for his talents and his accomplishments and his skill. And in fact, like, I'd be surprised at this point if he doesn't end up in the top three for the Norris. I don't think anybody's beating Quinn Hughes or Cale Makar this year. Those two guys have been 1 and 2 since October. And in Quinn Hughes's case has led the award for most of the season in our awards watch. But the two guys that I thought could creep into that third spot amongst the finalists have been Victor Hedman of the Lightning, who I think is going to get a lot of attention for how they've overcome injuries and other things to make the playoffs. And then Josi for the totality of his game and just how incredible he's been for this team. So we'll see how it shakes out. But I mean, I do think that even though you have to work a little bit to get him the attention, there certainly is acknowledgement around the league of how great this guy is.
Yeah, that is for sure. Going to be a fun one tonight between the Preds and the Panthers. Greg, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.